Today's scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 29 through 32, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and is taking his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Derek, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, to all of you here in this room and to all of you joining us online today. Good morning, good morning. When we gather together for worship like this, it's a time when we come together as the people of God to be strengthened in our faith, to be reminded again of the God who loves us unshakably. And then we go right back out into the community to strengthen the faith of others and to live out God's love for all. My name's Emily. I'm part of our pastoral team, and I'm thankful to be able to be here this Sunday. I was not able to be here last Sunday. I had a minor accident last weekend, and so I'm grateful that Pastor Jeff and Pastor Donovan were covering for me and that we get to be a team together. And I might talk a little funny or look a little funny today, but in a few weeks I'll be good as new. So thank you to those who reached out and said you were praying for me. I really appreciate it. We are in the sixth Sunday of a sermon series on the book of Hebrews. Today we're in chapters 11 and 12. We've been going chapter by chapter. And if someone asked you to summarize what the book of Hebrews is about, you could do that with a mathematical symbol, with this one. What does that one mean? Greater than, right? Because the book of Hebrews says again and again in chapter after chapter that Jesus is greater than what? Everything. Anything. Fill in the blank in any way, and that statement will hold true. The book of Hebrews says again and again that Jesus is greater than anything. And because of that, we can face anything because Jesus is with us. And that is something that holds true. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Lord, for you are our rock and our refuge, our Savior and our Redeemer. And it is in your name that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Faith can be hard to explain sometimes. Faith can be hard to understand, hard to know how to put words to it, how to put stories to it. I'm reminded of a story years ago of a community that had been suffering a drought for a long time. It had not rained in that county where those people lived for weeks and weeks and weeks. It had taken a big toll on the crops, and the farmers and the gardeners were having a really difficult time. And so the pastors in the area from lots of different churches and different denominations got together and decided there was something they could do. So they asked the people of their congregations to come together on a Sunday afternoon at the town park, and they were going to pray for rain. And he told them, all the pastors said, that there were two stipulations. Number one, you had to come together regardless of the different denominations and church stuff that was going on. And number two, you had to come in faith, believing that that for which you prayed mattered to God. And so, all of the people gathered together. The day came. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon. The town park was bursting at the seams. Hundreds of people, more people than had ever been in that town park. And one of the pastors stood up to a microphone and was getting ready to launch into prayer when another pastor stood up and shouted, "You people aren't ready." And they said, "Yes, we are." They insisted that they were ready to pray. He said, "But you didn't fulfill one of the stipulations." And so the people yelled back, "What was that?" He said, "I thought you were coming in faith, believing that God is at work in the thing for which you pray." And they said, "Yes, we are." He said, "But none of you brought an umbrella." Hope is praying for rain, the pastor said. Faith shows up with an umbrella. Another story I'm reminded of as we think about ways to depict or understand faith. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that 1989 movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. A bunch of you seen it. If you've never seen it, you can go home, Google it, Indiana Jones, and Google the words "leap of faith." There's this beautiful clip in the movie that's an image of faith. Indy is standing at the edge of a cliff, like a precipice, and he needs to get to another cliff on the other side. And in between is this great chasm, this great divide, and he can see no way across from here to there. His father is not doing too well, and what Indy needs is something over there on the other side, but he doesn't know how to get there. His father tells him, "You must believe, you must believe." And Indy is standing there getting ready, but he can't see how to get there. And so before he puts his foot out, he takes several deep breaths and he says, "It's a leap of faith." And then he puts his foot out and he puts weight on it, and the whole pathway appears. It's a beautiful illustration of faith. That until we take that leap, right, as grace assists us to respond to God and we put our weight into it, that next step God is calling us to in our lives may not yet appear. It's a beautiful image of putting one foot in front of another in a long life of faith, trusting that God will make a way when it looks like there is no way, trusting that God is with us when we cannot see it, trusting that God will hold us when we take that first step and then the next and the next one after that. How would you describe faith? What image would you use? What story would you tell? How would you put it in your own words? Jot down the question, how would I describe faith? Think about it. Pray about it. Let me know this week. I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. Tell me what words you would put to it. How would I answer the question or describe faith? I will tell you that for me, it is an unshakable anchor. It is a sureness. It is a certainty. It is a faith. It is a refuge. It is my foundation that holds me up and holds me together day after day, to know deep in my knower that God is with me and God loves me and God saves me and God knows me to my core and that I am never alone. Faith means for me that when things are going well and when they are absolutely not, and when life makes sense and when it absolutely does not, and like when I have these little accidents like I did last weekend, or far worse, God is with me and loves me unshakably through it all, and that doesn't change. That is faith for me and my foundation. How would you put faith into words? Some people like to use John 3:16. It's a great anchor. for a way to talk about faith. How does the writer of Hebrews talk about it? How does that writer answer the question? Well, if you go to chapter 11, verse 1, you'll find these words. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We're going to look at that more closely together. In fact, I invite you to turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps to Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. And while you're finding that, I'll give you a little background that we've been talking about these last several weeks on the book of Hebrews. First, it was written somewhere between 60 and 95 AD or CE. And it was written to this group of people. That would have been about the second or third generation of the early Christian church. And it was written to folks who were going through a really hard time. It was written to people who were in the midst of transition, who were in the midst of uncertainty and questions. They were exhausted, and for many of them, it was a time of persecution as well. The writer of Hebrews knew these people, knew them well, had been with them, and was writing to encourage them, to help them persevere and give them hope in the midst of all that was hard. Let's look then at chapter 11, verse 1. The Greek words behind that English text have a full breadth of meaning, and I think it's interesting to tease it out a bit. First, that word assurance. It comes from a Greek word that we might transliterate today as hypostasis, which means a whole host of things like very being or essence or substance or certainty or foundation, assurance or guarantee. It's the same word that's used at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, which says Jesus is the exact imprint of God's very being. That phrase, very being, is the same word we see now as assurance. Faith is this assurance, this substance and certainty. If you look at the word conviction in that verse, it comes from a Greek word that was used more often in a court setting, like for proof or documentation. Faith then is this substantive proof, documentation of things not seen, it says. I love Scripture. I love that it says here that God is sometimes hard to see. I love that Scripture admits that for us and with us. Because yes, it is hard in this tangible world to believe in something that isn't necessarily tangible, right? We like the visible world. We like what we can see and feel and touch. But what if? What if what we cannot see is the most real thing there is? How do you prove that? What do you do with the fact that God is hard to see? Faith is the conviction that God is there, even when we can't see it. That God is there regardless. It's like we might say the sun is always shining, it's just that the clouds sometimes get in the way. Faith can be described like that. I love the next part of chapter 11 and what the writer does and how he develops his argument. The writer of Hebrews finds a way to make God visible and tangible for us by using the stories of the witness of other people's faith and their experiences. The writer begins this long litany, beginning with the words, by faith, comma, and then tells a story about different biblical characters, like the writer's gone back to the book of Genesis and just starts flipping through the Bible, page after page, picking out story after story to tell. And each time he tells the story, he starts it with the phrase, by faith, 18 different times. By faith, this person. By faith, that person. It's a technique in preaching called anaphora, just in case you're curious, using the same phrase to begin different passages to emphasize a point. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch, he writes. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. An incredible story after incredible story of the witness of one imperfect person after another, trusting God and acting on faith when they, like Indiana Jones, put their foot out, right? And then put their weight on it. and put their weight and their trust in God again and again and again. This whole section in the book of Hebrews is often called the Hall of Fame. Faith's Hall of Fame, with one story after another. And when we get to verse 29, where Derek was reading for us today, we hear stories then by faith about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea by faith. The walls of Jericho came down by faith. Rahab, the prostitute, the outsider, was being saved. And the writer says he's running out of time to tell all the incredible stories from the Old Testament. And then lists in rapid fire fashion stories from the books of Joshua and Judges and 1st and 2nd Samuel. He says, by faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, and more. And you can feel the writers, almost like he's preaching. It's like a sermon, and he's building into this crescendo leading up to chapter 12, verse 1. One of the very long sentences in the book of Hebrews. It's like the writer takes a deep breath and lets it out. Therefore, he writes, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud, that word also means crowd, of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer, right? The one who goes first and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy was set before him, endured the cross for you, I might add, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a powerful verse. It's like a mic drop, right? It's an incredible, profound statement. For all those times, we do not see what is ahead, and we find it hard to see God with us as we continue to want to try to take step after step in a life of a journey of faith. The writer of Hebrews is building a picture, like you can picture it here in the sanctuary, of story after story after story after story, witness after witness after witness after witness, taped up around us, not taped, nailed solidly around us, all around us in a life of faith. Like you're living that journey, right? You're going down that path, and these are the witnesses that tell you that you didn't make God up, and that God is real, and you can trust in this God and continue in your journey of faith along the way. It's an incredible witness to a God who can be hard to see. Amen? Who are those persons in the bleachers as you're running your life of faith? It's all these 18, 20, 30 some more stories from Hebrews Hall of Fame. And it's people probably in your friends and your family whose pictures and stories and testimony and witness you would place right alongside. I was talking about this passage with a friend of mine last week, and she said to me, Emily, my grandmother is right up there beside all those Hebrews Hall of Fame people. And because I was raised by my grandmother, she said, I know what God is like. She said, my grandma Mary never preached to me. She lived her faith every single day. And by faith, she volunteered at her church. By faith, she read Bible stories to me at night. By faith, she knelt beside me at my bed every night in prayer. By faith, she taught me what it was to live sacrificially. By faith, she made sure others had plenty to eat before she did. My friend told me, I see my grandma Mary in those stands cheering me on. She's in that crowd of witnesses, telling me as a witness through her life that God is real. Who are the witnesses of faith in your life? People after the first service came up and told me about mothers-in-laws and grandmothers and sisters and men in their lives who have been witnesses of faith for them. Think about examples from history. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Oscar Romero, Oscar Schindler, Mother Teresa, and so many more. And in my life, I would add a Mennonite pastor's family who came alongside my family at a time when we were really struggling when I was in high school. And the pastor's wife would look at me again and again and hold my hands and look right into my eyes and say, "Emily, we will always make it." And then she'd pray with me and we'd sit and pray together. She's one of those people now in the bleachers for me, and her memory helps to keep me going on the days when faith is hard. Who are those witnesses of faith in your life? I'd love to hear those stories. If those people are still alive, tell them, thank them, write those names down. The writer of Hebrews goes on to tell us that Jesus is greater than all of those witnesses even, right? The prime example of faith for us, the pioneer, the one who goes before, and the perfecter. Think of that word like a coach, like the best coach you ever had, showing you not only the way, but telling you how to live out that faith day by day. And I'm a runner and have been for decades, which means I've done a ton of races. And most of the time I stay upright. I didn't last weekend, but most of the time I stay upright when I'm running. And there are hard things about doing a run, right? If you've ever done this sport, you know that there are times when you get a side stitch or a muscle cramp, or you get to a steep hill and it's really hard, or sometimes your body just hits a wall and you wonder how you're going to keep going if the race is long. One of my favorite things about a race is how random people you don't even know are standing along the sidelines cheering you on, and how other runners who might be older or younger than you know what it's also like to struggle in the midst of the journey, and they come alongside and encourage you as well. And one of my favorite things about a race is after it's over, oddly enough, and I've eaten and I've had some water, and then my sister is usually with me and she'll come with me, and then we get to stand on the sidelines and cheer for others as they continue to put one foot in front of the other on the path. In fact, we made up a cheer a long time ago that goes like this. It says, "Go, people we don't know. You can do it. Go, go, go." And we yell it really loud as we clap and cheer wildly for these strangers, because we know what it's like to be in that race. Faith is a lot like that. The writer of Hebrews is talking about faith a lot like that. Run the race that is set before us, putting aside things that can hold us back. And when we fall down, we rest when we need to, and we get back up and we tie our shoes and we keep on going. And we have this great crowd of witnesses that knows what it's like to struggle on that journey. And so they cheer us on from the bleachers and the sidelines. Can you hear them? Moses and Noah and Deborah and Sarah. Can you hear them shouting and calling your name? My friend says she hears Grandma Mary saying, "That's my girl." And I hear Orpha, the pastor's wife, telling me, "We will always make it." Can you hear the people in your life, that great cloud of witnesses, cheering you on step after step, all along the way? Hebrews tells us there is a great crowd of witnesses telling their stories, witness of God when God is hard to see, step after step as we go along the way. Life and faith can be hard. If we get real, right, church doesn't have to be the happiest place in town, but it ought to be the most honest. Life and faith can be hard at times. And Scripture knows that, acknowledges it. And Hebrews tells us, reminds us, confirms for us that the witness of others helps us to see God in our own lives and trust that God is with us. So by God's grace and by faith, we too rest when we need it, and tie our shoes and persevere and keep going step after step along the way. Because we know, right, that Jesus is greater than whatever it is that we face. And because he is with us, we can face it together. Amen. I think that's worth an amen. Let's do another one. Amen.